After Jesus is raised from the dead, he keeps appearing to the disciples in all sorts of different ways. Last Sunday, Jesus appeared to them a second time, specifically to pursue Thomas to confess his faith and turn from his disbelief. Now today Jesus appears to the disciples, seven of them, and he appears to them a third time, this time not in Jerusalem as on the previous two occasions, but now back up in Galilee, the home base for many of the disciples. In fact, there are two stories intertwined in today's gospel reading. One has to do with fish, as David said, and the other with sheep. So let's take a look at the fish story first. It's easy to remember the stories. So John begins today's gospel by telling us that Jesus showed himself in this way. John then says the third appearance of Jesus to his disciples amidst ordinary circumstances, ordinary life. He gives a lot of small, seemingly unnecessary or even strange details. For example, 153 fish. John could just have said easily, while the disciples were fishing, they saw Jesus on the shore. This was his third appearance. But he didn't. Instead, John focuses on the details in which Jesus showed himself. So maybe we should too. The disciples have returned home. They have gone back to fishing. They have moved from the empty grave to their boats, from the house in Jerusalem to the familiar waters of the Sea of Tiberias, or the Sea of Galilee, as we mostly know, or it is basically a lake 7 miles wide and 13 miles long. So they have traveled some 70 to 80 miles from the place of Jesus' resurrection, and given themselves to their old routine of fishing. They have returned to the same boats, the same nets, the same water, the same work. It happened in Galilee, which was the home of all the disciples, as I said, by one Judas Iscariot, who was a man from the south. But all the other 11 came from the north, so that's when and where Jesus showed himself. It's now 2 weeks after Easter Sunday, and I can say that we have all returned to the routine of our lives. We have all gone back to our homes, our families, our workplaces. So that's when and where we can expect Jesus to show himself to us. Resurrection doesn't happen apart from the routines of life, but in them. Resurrection is not about escaping life, but about becoming alive with the Lord. New Testament experts often point out that one way we can tell the resurrection stories are true is that they don't always show the disciples in the best light. If the disciples of Jesus had made up the story, they would surely have given themselves a more faithful response to the news that Jesus had risen from the dead. Their own part in the story would have been more heroic and flattering. Instead, we read about their disbelief, their failure to accept the woman's eyewitness account and anything more than an ideal tale. And here we see them spending an entire night fishing for nothing, wailing and travailing, getting nothing. And some of these disciples were expert fishermen. Even so, After a long night of casting the nets, they had come up empty. Almost 8 hours they struggled in the Sea of Galilee. And now it was morning. The sun had not yet come up. But in the grey light of early dawn, they could see a charcoal fire on the shore. And even though they had caught no fish, they could tell that someone was cooking fish up there on the rocks. They aren't far from shore, and the person cooking calls out, "Children, you haven't caught anything, have you?" That's not so much a question as it is a statement. It's like, you didn't catch anything, right? Nets and lives cannot be filled unless they are also emptied. In the same way, we can never be filled with Jesus until we are first emptied of ourselves, until we come to recognize the limits of our own self-sufficiency. The emptiness is not the end or a failure, but a beginning. Jesus shows up when the nets are empty, when they are exhausted, when they have given up hope. Further we read, "Know the answer, well, try throwing your net off the other side of the boat, and suddenly the net is full of fish. Large fish, 153 different large fish." I'm sure you must be wondering why that number, because even David mentioned that. It's a strange and seemingly unnecessary detail. But we can see one thing. 153 fish is a lot of fish in just one catch. And that with not modern equipment. It's just that. I'm simply fascinated by that number. And as I was reading some of the commentaries, a number of books have been written about the significance of the 153 fish that filled their net. The most commonly accepted interpretation of this number comes from the 4th century theologian Jerome, who writes that there were 153 species of fish known in the 1st century Galilee. The net wasn't just filled with 153 fish, but 153 different kinds of fish, probably symbolizing the extent to which fishing for people would go to the whole world. Maybe Jerome got it right, maybe not. But one thing is certain, the net was empty all night long as the fishermen used their tried and true fishing techniques. When they followed Jesus' direction and instructions to do things differently, the net was full of large fish, and it didn't break. Last Sunday we had the annual church meeting, and the new church council was elected. I believe one of the tasks of the council is to meet ministerial and spiritual needs of our community, as well as expand the ministry of St. Clement's. And I guess this is the kind of text that allows for some creative discussions of what church and ministry might look like if we drop our nets on the other side and if we really follow Jesus. Their capacity to catch fish grew with their obedience. Somebody said, the miracle of John chapter 21 is that the fishermen followed the instructions from outside, which they never do. That's the miracle. So it is the miracle that they followed the instructions. Their capacity to catch fish grew with their obedience. There are two little details we need to be sure we notice here. First, Jesus doesn't need their fish. He's already cooking while their nets are still empty. But when they follow his commands, he invites them to add their fish to the food he has already prepared. Jesus uses our God-given talents and gifts and adds them to the work he's already doing in this world. He invites us to share in a feast that he has already prepared, using whatever gifts we bring him. Something to do with the auction after the service. Think about it, your gifts, your talents, whatever you do, do it for the Lord. Second, when the expert fishermen have come up empty using their own methods, Jesus gives them a simple command to change the way they do things, and they are suddenly blessed with abundance. The moment of recognition of Jesus in this story, when lack is transformed to abundance. Dear friends, it could be the same in our lives. When we recognize the Lord, the risen Lord, the lack will transform to abundance. When despair is moved to hope, when abandonment is replaced with the restoration of our relationship, we notice this in Peter's case. I wonder what Peter thought when he got ashore and saw a charcoal fire. I wonder if he gazed into the flames, lost himself in the past, and remembered that other charcoal fire, the only by which he warmed himself and denied his Lord. The memories of something that had happened 3 weeks earlier came flooding back. The word charcoal fire is only used twice in the whole of the New Testament, once here in John chapter 21 and the other time in John chapter 18, where it says Peter was warming himself at the charcoal fire. Denied his Lord 3 times. I wonder if Peter heard the rooster crow its exclamation point to his 3 denials of Jesus. Its exclamation point to his guilt and shame. After breakfast, Jesus and Peter go for a walk down the beach. They have a short but repetitive conversation. It was a conversation about love, freedom, and moving forward. 3 times Jesus asked, Simon, do you love me? And 3 times Peter answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. 3 questions for 3 denials. A full emotional and spiritual reset. Restoration begins with love, and love becomes the new foundation, not shame and guilt. I think Jesus knew that Peter loved him, but Peter needed to know that he loved Jesus. Peter needed to understand that he was not bound to or identified by his past. Jesus didn't just forgive Peter. He restored his calling. He restored identity and purpose from fisherman to shepherd. Feed my sheep. If you have ever failed, fallen, or felt unworthy, this message is for you. Jesus still calls, still loves, still restores. There is a possibility of new beginning with the Lord. There is a possibility of new beginning with the Lord. Because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He didn't wait for Peter to come to him. He showed up by the Sea of Tiberias. He meets us in familiar places. God met Saul on the road to Damascus when he was going to persecute the Christians. Peter had returned to fishing. Jesus met him right there. He initiates fellowship. He initiates friendship. Jesus prepared a meal for them before addressing the issue. What a beautiful way to restore a relationship. Something to learn from the Lord. Even today, at every Eucharistic feast, He offers us the opportunity to respond to His love. Because of this incident, Peter could write in his epistle, "Love covers a multitude of sins." And the psalmist says, "I will exalt you, O Lord, because you have lifted me up." Jesus ends the conversation the same way he began his relationship with Simon and other fishermen back at the start of his ministry. "Follow me," he says. "Follow me," Jesus calls to us now. "Follow me," says Jesus. "Forgive others and don't embarrass them by reminding them of their faults. Follow me. Whether you are fishing or herding his sheep, follow me when he calls us to change the way we have always done things so that he can bless us with abundance. Follow me as he prepares a feast for us that combines what he provides with what we offer of ourselves. Follow me into such a close friendship, such a deep love that all can be forgiven and all can be made whole. In the name of God, whose Father, Son, and Holy Spirit."